Thank you, Pastor Paul. If I've not met you yet, my name is Josh. Obviously, I'm new here. But anyways, we just wanted to say quickly, thank you for the love and support that you've given our family. I think I have enough toilet paper for life from you guys. So really appreciate that. We've been enjoying eating out on some of those gift cards and different things. And it's just been a real blessing to meet you all, get to eat with some of you already and hang out with you guys. And we'd love to get together with you guys in the next couple of months and things like that. But if I have not met you, please come grab me after the service. I'd love to get to know you a little bit more, get your name, and I will probably forget it. So just slap me the next time you meet me and I'll make sure to remember it from then on out. If you've got your Bible this evening, we're going to be in Joshua chapter 1. Paul told me I had 2.5 hours tonight. Is that right? Something like that? Yeah. I know it's a little bit shorter tonight with just a devotional, but we're coming up on the new year. And I wanted to ask you guys, how many of you are fans of New Year's resolutions? How many of you like New Year's resolutions? Could you raise your hand if you like doing a New Year's resolution? Like nobody. How many of you do not like them? You do not like New Year's. Whoa, let's go. How many of you, does anyone have one? Does anyone in the audience have one they'd like to share? No? Got one up there. All right. One of the things I noticed about New Year's resolutions, and especially on social media, people share these fake podcasts. Have you guys seen these where people pretend to have a podcast on social media and they're super confident and say, this is the hack you need in your life to meet your goals in your life and be a better person, to do this or that or the other. It feels like there's something constantly coming up, some new hack or some new method for keeping new habits. And if you just want to notice that, you could just go to the self-help section in the bookstore these days. It's huge. There's a veritable market for all of these things in our culture of different hacks or different things, new things to keep new habits and New Year's resolutions. Now, one of the things I want to just quickly emphasize with you all this evening is that's not how the Christian faith works. The Christian faith is not some sort of hack that you get that can get you into new, different things. One of the benefits of being a believer is that our faith is old. It's deeply rooted in history, which means there's nothing new under the sun. In fact, if someone comes around and tells you, hey, I've got this brand new thing in Scripture that no one has ever seen before, that's when you should run as fast as you can in the opposite direction. Our faith is not new. The Scriptures are old and deeply rooted. And as a believer, your walk with God is not about the newest hack to help you walk with the Lord. Tonight, I just want to emphasize that it's about returning to the basics on a very, very, very regular basis. Turn to Joshua chapter 1. We're going to begin in verse number 7 in our scriptures this evening. Joshua 1, verse number 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do all according to the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Moses is dead, and God has risen up a new leader, Joshua. And obviously, he's one of my favorite characters in the Bible for obvious reasons. But he is in a new season. They're on the cusp of the promised land after wandering the desert for 40 years. And this task was nothing short of like intimidating for Joshua, because the people of Israel are not known for being the most obedient, the most faithful, the most courageous. This morning, we talked about how much they murmured, how much they complained and worshiped idols and all sorts of things. And that's why they wandered in the desert for 40 years. And now they have a second chance to go into the promised land and conquer it and take it over. And right at the start of this book, God swoops in to encourage and strengthen him. And I love how simple it is. It's not a battle plan or a five-step program to take over the Canaanites with your fickle group of people. God doesn't come out of the sky and hand Joshua the latest John Maxwell book. He doesn't come out of the sky and say, hey, here's 7 different things you need to do to be the greatest, most charismatic leader. No, he just gives Joshua the basics. Be strong and of a good courage. in these simple steps. So if you're taking notes tonight, the first point I want you to see is the courage for obedience. The courage for obedience. Look at verse number 7 again. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Holiness means staying on the path. Don't turn to the right. Don't turn to the left. Stay on the path. Obey everything God has commanded you to do. Because on Mount Sinai, God had given the people of Israel his law and appeared in fire and in smoke and in thunders. And he promises these people that they were to go and conquer and make no compromises with the people of Canaan. And what is discouraging is that this is their second attempt. And Joshua is about to lead this very fickle group of people back into this land where temptations to compromise would abound. If you can think of a sin, Israel is going to face that sin in the land of Canaan. And Joshua is encouraged by God to be strong and courageous in obedience. In other words, Joshua, the key to your success is not in your charisma. The key to your success is not in you being a strong dictator to these people. The key to your success is your obedience to God. The key to your success in this conquering is not compromising with the people in the land of Canaan. And what I love about the book of Joshua is that's exactly what he does. As long as Joshua is alive, he obeys the Lord. And if you read all the way through the book, you get to Joshua 24, verse number 15, it says, "Choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the God of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua is an old man saying that. And what that reveals about the Christian life is that nothing changes no matter what age you are. At every single stage of your Christian life, you need to go back to the simple basic of, I need to be holy. I need to be set apart. Not just running away from sin, but running to my Heavenly Father and obeying every single command he's given me. And while God has not called us to holy war or told us that he's going to make us prosper in the land which God has given us, we're not the people of Israel. The same command is found all throughout the scripture. Do not turn to the right hand or to the left. And in this new year, it takes courage to be holy. If you're going to make a New Year's resolution, it should be, God, I want to be holy. When the world, the flesh, and the devil come after me and tempt me to come away from you and tempt me to fall away into sin, I need to stand my ground and say no, because I have a better Savior than any sin that could ever come after me. And that has to be true in public. It has to be very true in public. Do your coworkers know you're a believer? Or do they know you're a believer, but know that you don't act like it when you're at work? Or when you're at your kid's soccer game yelling at the coach because your kid is the best star they've ever seen. Do the people that you hang out with on a regular basis know you're a Christian and that you walk like a good Christian? And I'm not saying be like a Pharisee, but Jesus did say in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I guarantee you, if your coworkers know you're a Christian, if your family knows you're a Christian, if the people you see who are lost and on their way to hell know you're a believer, they are watching you. And they're watching to see, is this Jesus actually real to them? Enough of a reality to them to change their life. But what matters even more, it's not just public, it's in private, in your heart. Because Jesus says, it's not what goes into a man that corrupts him, but what comes out of a man that corrupts him. Your heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, and you could fool every single person in this room. You could be like that whitewashed sepulcher that Jesus talked about, but inside you're full of dead man's bones. Who are you on the inside? Are you holy? Are you righteous? Are you right with the Lord? Or is there something that you're hanging on to from this old year where you said, you know what, I'll take care of that anger problem. I'll take care of that lust. I'll take care of that gossip. I'll take care of that bitterness I have toward this person or that person. I'll take care of the complaining that Pastor talked about this morning later. Are you holding on to some sin that you know in your heart is eating you alive? There's nothing, nothing more important than looking at your own heart and having the courage and the strength from the Lord to take care of sin and follow after Jesus. But not only does Joshua get commanded by God to have courage for holiness and obedience, secondly, he needs to have courage in the word. Courage in the word. Look at verse number 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy, what's that next word? Mouth. But thou shalt, what's the next word? Meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Notice he says, don't let it depart out of your mouth. In other words, in order to be strong in the word, you need to speak the word. The word of God should never depart out of your mouth. What you speak reflects the condition of your heart. Is the word of God something you talk about? Because this takes courage, right? Our culture sees God as bigoted, hateful, or simply irrelevant, and nothing could be further from the truth. Why would you ever trust the changing world or a changing culture when you have an unchanging book that's been preserved for thousands of years and handed down to us so we can know what God wants us to know and obey? Why would you trust the culture when you have the Word of God? We must have the Word in our speech, teaching our children, preaching the gospel to the lost, standing up for truth when no one will, or just simply delighting in it. We can't claim to be people of the book when we talk more about our sports team, our work, or our hobby, or our family, or anything more than the Word of God. Do you talk about the Bible? But not only does he say, let it not depart out of your mouth, he says, thou shalt meditate therein day and night. The Word needs to fill your mind all day long, because that's how we know our God. Stereotypically, every Christian New Year resolution is, I need to read the Bible more. And that's all well and good, right? You should read your Bible more. Frankly, not many people read their Bible enough. But if you see your Bible reading as a checklist, you're not going to be getting very far. Meditating on the Word of God needs to be a delight, not a duty. Psalm 119, verse 14. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Spending time every day with God in his word is absolutely essential, but you have to delight in it. You have to love it. You have to enjoy it. You have to be satisfied by it, because if it's just, okay, this is what every Christian does, I need to do this because I need to make my pastor, or I need to do this or that or the other to make my wife happy or whatever. If it's a duty, not a delight, you're going to burn out very quickly in your Christian walk. Practically, find a plan that works for you. I personally do not read through the Bible every single year. What I like to do is I read a book in the Old Testament, then go to the New Testament and just hop back and forth. I just finished Job recently in my morning devotions, because if I try to read through the Bible in the year, I learn again that I'm a slow reader. And I'm ADHD. And what that means is I get very bored very quickly with one section of the Bible. And so what I have to do is entertain my brain constantly. So I just hop back and forth and read a book at a time. But if it's reading through the Bible in the year, that's great. But find something that works for you. But not only should we have courage for holiness and courage in God's word, we need to have courage through God's power. Courage through God's power. Look with me at verse number 9. Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord Yahweh thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Sometimes we look at the stories of the Bible and we wish we could have lived back then. Man, if I could have just walked with Jesus, or if I had just seen God on Mount Sinai, that would enlighten my Christian faith. But what the New Testament teaches us is that Jesus is closer to you than any other person in human history, because he dwells in you through the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. 1 Corinthians 6, and God hath both raised up the Lord, and also raises up by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are members of Christ? And he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? The reason you can stand strong and be courageous in holiness in God's word is not because of you. It's because of God. It's because of the Holy Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. No more can ye unless ye abide in me. For without me, ye can do what? Nothing. Nothing. He didn't say something. Jesus didn't come preaching a gospel of self-reliance or self-effort or self-discipline. There is no amount of discipline that will ever make up for dependence in your Christian life. And what I mean by that is not that you should not be disciplined. You should be disciplined. But your discipline must be deeply rooted in a dependence on Christ. And practically, that means every day you've got to run to Jesus like you need him because you do, because you're a sinner. Let us therefore come boldly, not scared, not fearfully, but boldly to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And that's daily. You know what? In 2026, I encourage you, don't run to God when you're desperate. Run to God daily. When I was a kid, I was a teenager, we watched a dog. It was an Ardell Terrier Golden Dual mix. And what that means, it was ugly. That's all that means, okay? She was about this tall. Her name was Suka. We watched her for 6 weeks while her family went, I believe it was to the Philippines. It was in the island somewhere to visit family. And they said, hey, we can't take this like 6 foot tall dog with us on the airplane. We need someone to watch her. Could you watch her? We watched her for 6 weeks. Now, Suka wasn't just ugly. She was also very stinky because they had her on an organic diet, which basically means she had gas. You can think of that on your own later tonight if you need to. She stunk to high heavens. She was a crazy dog. She was a puppy. So we had to throw a tennis ball for 2 hours a day. Her owner had a strict regimen. So an hour in the morning, an hour in the evening, we had to get this long arm and throw this tennis ball. And she would run for hours and hours and hours and hours all day long if we let her. But we had to do this every single day. And it's for 6 weeks. And because I get bored very easily, one day I said, you know what? I'm really bored of just throwing this ball for this stupid dog. I'm going to hit this with a baseball bat. And so I would throw up the tennis ball, I'd hit it with a baseball bat, she'd run and get it, and then she'd bring it back. We did that for a long time. But on one occasion, when I was deciding to do it, I said, you know what, instead of throwing it, I'm going to bounce it. So I bounced the ball. And when I bounced the ball and swung at the ball, I out of the corner of my eye, Suka was coming at the ball at the same time. And in a split second, I heard a ping, and Suka fell flat on the dirt. And just FYI, don't let me watch your dog. She falls flat. She went stiff as a board. She started to have a seizure. I started to freak out. And in that moment, I got desperate and became Pentecostal in the moment. And I started praying over her, trying to do healings and signs and wonders. I literally started praying. I was like, God, I just killed this person's dog. I'm freaking out. You're on its side. I said, Dad, I just hit Suka with a baseball bat. And my dad said, great. I'm just kidding. I hit Suka. He comes running out. And at that moment, we come back out. Suka kind of stumbled back up. And my dad didn't say a word. I'm shocked my dad didn't say anything. He didn't say a word, but he just picks up the tennis ball and he throws it. And Suka gets up and she kind of stumbles after the ball and she brings it back to him. And my dad said, she's fine, and went back inside. I told him, you better not tell his owner. And he told the owner, which thanks, Dad, for that. I need a therapy after that or something. But I was running to God in desperation. And sadly, that's what our Christian life looks like sometimes, right? We wait till we're in a crisis before we run to Jesus. We wait till the bills are due. We wait till the trial's really hard. We wait till these difficult things come our path before we run to Jesus. But Jesus teaches us we need him every single day. Go boldly to the throne of grace every single day. Because you need Jesus. No amount of discipline will ever make up for daily dependence on the grace of Christ. So in 2026, don't look for some new hack. Don't look for some new resolution that'll just unlock the mysteries of the Christian faith. Go back to the basics. Run to God's word. Run to holiness. Be obedient. Be known for being a follower of Jesus in private and in public. Be a Christian who loves to serve his Savior every single day. Read the scripture, speak the scripture, teach the scripture. Go back to the basics. One of the things that's interesting, and one of the privileges I've had, is I've gotten to meet a lot of different older pastors who've just pastored for 45, 50 plus years, great men of God who have wonderful marriages, wonderful children, they have wonderful churches. And I always love to ask them, hey, what's like the secret to your success? You know, I'm young in the ministry. I'd like to know, what do you recommend? What's your secret? You know what every one of them tells me? The word of God and prayer. The word of God and prayer and living a life of holiness. Love your family, love Jesus, love the book, and love people. And it's never more complicated than that. The happiest men that I know who are pastors are people who go back to the basics every single year and decide, I'm going to be a Christian who loves holiness, loves the book, and just loves grace and needs grace every single day.